Hey there, I'm Verity Songon and this is the Confident CEO podcast, the show that takes you behind the scenes of starting and running your small or not so small business. We will cut through the misinformation and bad advice about starting and running a business and give you actionable tips and advice that you can implement to grow, scale and achieve your business goals. Let's dive in. Well, welcome everybody back to another episode of the Confident CEO podcast. I am absolutely ecstatic. And note that I said ecstatic because I always say excited. And my husband completely ribbed me yet again yesterday. He was like, why do you always start your episode saying, oh, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast? And I said, I'm just an excitable person. So then we had this whole conversation and we got Alexa involved as to like, what other words can we think of that Verity can say other than excited? So I'm ecstatic today, which I think is like even taking it to a new level, even for my excitement. But I am really, really, really happy. I'm excited. There you go. I'm just going to say it. I'm excited that I have got the absolute wonderful Mae James on the podcast today. We are going to delve into some really, really exciting conversations around the world of professional development and CPD in the business world. But before we do, I'm going to hand over to you, Mae. Please tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Mae James. I am a business consultant. I help business owners around the world to scale their businesses, particularly women. We work exclusively with female entrepreneurs, which is really exciting. And we help them get past the kind of six-figure, multi-six-figure, seven-figure mark. You know, we know that there's a huge, massive gap in terms of entrepreneurship and in terms of getting women over that mark in terms of scaling. And so that's where we come in. We have a business called Mae James Limited, which is the business consultant sort of consultancy. And we really allow businesses to grow at a pace that makes sense for them. So yes, it's about growth and yes, it's about scaling, but it's very much about sustainability and it's very much about being bespoke to what somebody wants. So it's not just a case of let's grow people's revenue, because that's great, but actually, you know, there's a lot more to it than that. And some people want to grow to £60,000 a year or £100,000 a year, and then there's other people who want a, you know, £10 million a year business, and all of that's valid. And we kind of come in at a very bespoke level to meet people where they're at and then take them to where they want to go. So our clients are very sort of ambitious, very sort of driven, but also want a real no bullshit approach to business growth and development, which I'm sort of renowned for. Aside from that, I also run another business. I have a podcast. I sort of advise a number of different businesses. I've got a lot of fingers in lots of different pies. But ultimately, my sort of main mission and goal is to help more women to be financially empowered. And we do that through entrepreneurship.
I love that. You've got so much going on. Do you sleep?
I do sleep. I value my sleep very highly. I don't take any meetings before 11 a.m. on a morning, and that's mainly so I can sleep.
Wow, I respect that. I absolutely love that you say that you don't take meetings before a certain time. Yeah. I just think that is so aspirational, and I think so many people need to actually take note of that you don't have to have 8 a.m. meetings if you don't want to. I love that.
Yeah, it's
so
never going to happen.
Yeah,
never
going to happen. I love that so much. On the flip side, I will say that I am the kind of person who will take meetings at like 8, 9 a.m. because it gets to about 2 p.m. in the afternoon. I just can't function. I don't know what it is, but I'm not an afternoon person. So it's interesting how people work in different ways.
Yeah. And like also that. You're a mum. And so you've got to make that work in between, you know, your commitments. I think I'm not against it. I know some people who love a 7 a.m. meeting, and actually it works because their team are around the world and things. And I think you've got to find what works for you and find what fits. Giving people permission to just don't think you've got to sit between the 9 till 5 sort of rhetoric.
100%. I think that's so, so important as well in kind of 2023, when we see so much on social media where people are saying, oh, you have to do this and you have to do that. And if you want to achieve this, then these are the 3 tips that you absolutely have to follow or it's never going to happen. And I think that's what I was loving about what you were just saying about building sustainably, because again, there is so much noise on social media. And I'm not saying that it's impossible to scale to whatever number in 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. But I don't feel like there's enough conversation around the sustainability of that, which I think is so, so important, and why I love what you do and the content that you put out, because it is a massive emphasis on the sustainability and not just the, well, we can do this in 3 months, but then what? I just think that's brilliant.
And I think so much of business development is focused around that. It's like, let's put a time scale on it and let's get to X point. And, you know, I think what's sort of difficult for some people to gather is some of the work I do in the business. You know, it's not unusual for our clients to double their revenue, triple their revenue, five times their revenue, and they're already at six figures year on year with us, which is quite aggressive. You know, if you look at that from a growth perspective, that's very aggressive, but we do it in a sustainable way. And I think that's quite weird for people because they're like, well, can you still do it in that time frame and be sustainable? And the argument is yes. However, I'm very open with people about what it takes and what it has, you know, what support they invest, or does their profit margin change, or where does, you know, what is the kind of trade-off? Because there's always a trade-off. And I say that to people, you know, you can have time, you can have money, you can have both, but at some point when you're scaling, you can't always have it all at the same time. And so I think it's important to have these conversations. And I love, you know, the content that I put out and other people put out about, you know, is it sustainable to you? Because what's sustainable to one client for me is not for another client. So we have, you know, two people going after the same goal, and it's a very different time frame, and that's cool. And I think it's about people really understanding what are your parameters and what are you able to handle, both emotionally, physically, you know, from a perspective of your personal life. There's a lot that comes into it, and we really build a cohesive plan to get people to scale sustainably. Because as you said, doing like three tips to this thing, or, you know, how do you, I can give people a plan, I can give people a 3 month, like, go after this, but they'll be knackered by the end of it and they never want to do their business again. And they sort of look at me as to say, like, what have you just done to me for 3 months? It's like, they've gotten what they wanted, but it's not necessarily in the space and time that they wanted it. And I think that's just so important and so nice that actually now there is conversation with other people, not just me, about how that you can do that without just burning yourself to the ground.
100%. I love that so much. I feel like if we weren't going to talk about CPD, that is like, you know, there's so much gold in that part of the podcast episode already. I love it. But we are here to talk about CPD, which I think is fantastic. We haven't covered professional development on the podcast before, and you actually did. What inspired this episode for our listeners out there is that you, on your own podcast, Honest Business, you did an episode and you were looking at kind of the professional development. So I thought, let's get that you on for our listeners. But I will link that particular episode in the show notes for our lovely listeners to go across and listen to. But what I want to ask you first off is, what is CPD? What is professional development?
Yeah, so CPD obviously is an organization in itself.
Yes, that's very true.
So that is an organization in the UK. You know, that is an organization. In terms of continuous personal development professional development that we're talking about, for me, if we take it aside from the company itself, is the activity of constantly progressing for you as an individual. And I think that's what's really interesting. I think a lot of people can get CPD mixed up with driving a business forward or driving sort of a team forward or whatever your role is in the business, the next thing, and to try and keep that going. But actually, I argue that CPD is about you as a person. It's about your skill set and what can you offer. And yes, obviously, that's really going to impact the other stakeholders around you in your job or your business. But for me, CPD is kind of a level of how do you really elevate what you're able to do, or elevate what you can hold, or expand the areas that you can work in.
I love that. I think that just encapsulates it so, so well. So then I guess my next question then comes on to a lot of people, including myself. So for a bit of background, I came from an incredibly academic school, not knocking my school, but it was incredibly academically focused. You then went on to university. I then became a registered nurse, and all of the CPD is very much centered around, you know, you have to do this course, which is accredited by this body, and you're getting like either CPD points or, you know, some kind of accolade to say, put in a professional portfolio. But there's going to be a large number of entrepreneurs out there. In fact, even what I'm doing now, having moved away from the whole registered nurse gig, for want of a better word, there's a lot of people who are like, but there's not a qualification per se. You know, there's not like a degree in podcasting. There's not a degree in being a business coach or a social media manager. how do I go about, you know, not for me, but, you know, if you're kind of in that entrepreneur space, it's thinking to yourself, how do I go about actually finding professional development opportunities that are relevant to me? If there's not, you know, like I said, a degree, because for a lot of people, they do think, oh, I have to do a degree, or I have to do, you know, as I said, these kind of quote unquote professional qualifications. So I'd love to get your take on that.
Yeah, what an interesting question, and so many areas to delve into. And I'm sort of laughing as you were talking there, if anyone, because I know you can't see us. I was sort of smiling and beaming as you were talking. Yeah, so a few points on this. So my first pointer is, I have a sort of, I don't want to say controversial, but I have quite a strong opinion on this, which I suppose is maybe why you wanted to be on this.
100%, yes. Yeah, I wanted the strong opinion.
Yeah, so here we go, buckling. Yeah, you know, there isn't necessarily a degree in social media management. Yes, there is in digital marketing, but there isn't. My argument is that if there ever was, it would never be good enough, which I know is a bit controversial, but I just think it changes so quickly.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah. So I think, setting that aside, I don't believe that the end outcome should be that we try and find a solution in that sense of, well, we've got to have a degree for every possible thing. The second point and the second real issue is that, you know, certain industries have tried to fill that gap in a really positive way. They've tried to, you know, make things sort of certified. They've added programs. People are now, you know, some coaching programs and things, and courses are now CPD certified, and that you do get points towards things. I have a struggle with that, if I'm honest. I struggle with, you know, the intent behind it, the actual execution of it. The execution's the biggest issue. I don't believe, how do I not get sued? But CPT, what I'm trying to say is, I don't think it's hard, is what I'm saying, to go and get CPD certified, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. I'm not saying you can do it today, but I don't believe in the consistency of it. I don't believe in the quality of how legit it is. I believe that it's a very easy marketing tactic for people to slap on a badge and a course and say, you're going to get 10 CPD hours. And, you know, I'm not against saying that I'll never do that, because I very much, you know, I believe that I understand the value of, I understand what people are trying to do with it. But I think it leaves the consumer and the professional in a really difficult position, because what you're just saying is exactly it. It's like the advice sort of 2 years ago would be, go and find a CPD sort of associated trainer and do something on that. But the reality of it is, right now, for an online industry of social media managers, coaches, OBMs, all of that kind of realm, service providers, I mean, it's the Wild West in terms of what you're going to get. And they can have all the accreditations and they can be certified, but I still don't believe and don't buy into the fact that that means anything to some personally, which people will disagree with. And I'm not saying that everyone who does have a qualification or is certified means that they're rubbish either. I'm saying that, you know, there's good in everything. But I do think it's become very difficult for business owners, professionals who want to continue in their growth and their learning, because it isn't an easy case of go and find X, Y, and Z thing and then you're going to be fine. I think it's an issue that has cost people a lot of money, because I think it takes a long time to find certain people or organizations that you really gel with and that you do find value in. And I think there's also a lot of business models now being built. As someone who has, you know, a consultant business which does have coaching attached to it, has advisory services attached to it, I understand from a business model perspective, it makes total sense for people to create certifications, courses, things that are helping people to become a certain job role that they can make money off. Because what we've happened in the industry, and I don't know how far you want to go with this, but let's just go there anyway. What we happened to an industry is the coaching industry and the learning industry has evolved now. We were in a period where that industry was quite a new thing. It was quite, you know, it's been around for years and years, but it hadn't exploded in the way it has. And what happened in any industry is that when that evolves and the growth cycle changes, you move into a maturity or you move into an evolution model. Now, my argument is that, just take business coaching, for example, a lot of people had to kind of teach people how to start a business. And that was the kind of bottom piece of it. And then you worked your way up and you had people helping people grow and scale and exit. And, you know, that was the kind of model. What people realized was, actually, we could add another section at the bottom of that, of before you even get to how to start your business, it was like, let's just certify people in something, as in social media, business coaching, launch management. I mean, the amount of things you can get certified in is just bizarre. You don't even realize, you're like, do I need that? But who knows? I'm just going to join in because why not? Everyone else is joining. And so we then added and stacked on the bottom this sort of world of certification and sort of certificates, and people then started spending, and still are now, because this certification thing is booming in 2023 more than it ever has done, and will continue, in my opinion. It's not going anywhere. Like, it's going to continue as we go forward. People are now spending £5,000, £10,000, £2,000 on a certification, and some people are spending it on getting three or four certifications because they're getting the mindset one and the business thing and this thing and that thing. And then they come out of that and then they realize, oh, I need to make money and get clients for whatever I've learned. So then it's great. They then move up the next piece of the business model and the person helps them with that. And it kind of continues. Now, I know that that sounds very cynical for anyone who sat listening and thinking, God, you really sounded like you're not really selling this to us. And I really want to stress, I'm not against that. You know, I have some amazing colleagues in the industry. I have some amazing peers that I really fly the flag for and will recommend people to, you know, use their certification. I'm not saying every certification is bad. I think the issue we have is anyone can make a certification. Anybody can decide, oh, this is good or that's good. And actually, for me, I do see it as some people just don't know what they're doing. And I'm not saying that people can't come into an industry, but I think there is an element of you have to understand where your background lies or what does that mean. And that's not me saying that you have to have 20 years experience in business. You don't. It's about, where are your transferable skills? Where does it sit? And it makes sense for people. You know, some people are teachers. They were a primary school teacher, and therefore they're going to start teaching on something else. That makes total sense to me, because there's a skill set there.
Yeah.
And I think there's a real kind of, there needs to be more conversation around, what is it that you want to do? And then, where are you qualified to do it and where aren't you? And there's nothing wrong with saying, look, I'm not qualified to do X, Y, and Z thing. It's like me, for example. I am not qualified to exit businesses. I don't help people exit. So if they want to sell, I can help get them ready for sale, but I will not go through that process of actually them signing documents and that legal stuff. I'm not qualified to do that. Now, I could choose to go down that route of, let's all get involved and let me be able to do that, but don't want to. I'm not interested. That doesn't need to be part of my business model. And so I'm happy to outsource that to someone, or to help, you know, say, go and spend money with someone else. And I think people are feeling now more than ever that they have to be everything to everyone. They have to be the business coach and the mindset coach, or they've got to be the podcast editor and the marketing agency, because, you know, podcasts is a bit of marketing, and therefore we've got to have that together. It's like, well, you don't have to. And I think that kind of just really is key for people to think about. Don't get sucked into this market and this messaging, this noise that is, you have to be certified in order to be any good at what you do, because that's just rubbish. I've spent a lot of money on CPD, a lot of money. And, you know, I've, some of the best people I've worked with have not been certified. Some of the best people have been. But also the worst people have been certified. And actually, I would say a huge percentage of them were certified and were absolutely horrendous. And I think that's where it gets difficult.
I love that so much. I'm smiling as you were saying that about podcast editing and marketing, because I actually put something on my stories just last night of, I'd just taken on a new audit client. So I was just kind of explaining that on my stories. But then I made it very clear. I said, you know, once you've got your audit results, you can take it to your marketing manager or whoever you work with, your social media manager, because that's not me. My expertise in social media management are way down here. In fact, you know, they're not even on the screen, because and equally marketing. I know some marketers who are absolutely amazing. They put years and years of investment, both time, money, in learning their craft. So who am I to suddenly turn around and go, well, here's your audit. Now, that I can do. I can tell you the different bits of, you know, your podcast, where we can improve it and yada, yada. That's a conversation for a different day. But what I can't do is say, well, these are how it's going to feed into your marketing strategy, and these are the different threads that we're going to pull, because I don't know any of that stuff. I know the absolute bare minimum. That's why I've worked with people in marketing to, you know, get the business to where it is. And I absolutely love that you say that, because I think sometimes we do kind of get to this point in 2023 where we think we have to be everything. But the thing that I was really, really kind of stood out to me, actually, even in the last few weeks, is this whole idea of, without sounding completely horrible, but staying in your own lane. And you've got your own zone of genius. You have got your expertise, your experiences, whatever it is that's got you to this point. Don't feel like you have to start going into other things. I mean, just last month, I turned around to a friend who is an absolutely incredible social media manager. And what I do is I use some of her services for my clients, because I'm like, I don't know half the stuff that you're doing. She spent God knows how much and God, you know, years and years and years getting herself to this point. And it is, isn't it? It's about staying in your lane, but also appreciating what you're bringing to the table, as opposed to thinking that you have to do everything else. It's recognizing what you're bringing to the table in your own right there, I think.
Yeah. And I also think it comes back to, are you in a lack state? Do you have enough? And are you abundant? And what I mean by that is, a lot of the time these conversations come up and people embark on these quite extreme endeavors of whatever CPD because they've got loads of time, or because they've got this like lack or this worry or this imposter syndrome around, I am missing something. I don't have X, Y, and Z thing. But my question to most people is, when they come and ask me, because I, for anyone who doesn't know, you know, what I do, I spend a lot of time actually helping people invest what they're going to invest in. I help people actually say, yes, they spend money with me on their CPD, but I also see them and say to them, right, are you going to go and do this? Are you going to do that? And sometimes they'll come to me and say, which do you think I should do? So I help people come up with what they should be doing themselves, or, you know, advise them. I don't force them, obviously, to do. They can do whatever they want, but they want my opinion. And I often, the question comes down to, if you were booked out, fully booked, making all the money you want to make, that's on your business plan and on your business strategy, would you be going and doing X, Y, and Z thing? And often the answer is no, because it's like they think that this next certification, this next thing is going to magically change their business for them. And it's just not. It doesn't matter what certification you do. That is not, that those two don't go hand in hand, sadly. As much as anyone wants to tell you they will, like, it won't. Do I believe that certain certifications can complement each other and allow that the work you do with someone to really feed into that and grow that? Yeah, 100% I do. You know, sometimes you do want that mindset piece, maybe, if you're helping someone with a strategic item, 100%. But I think you've got to be really clear on, am I doing this from a place of lack and from a place of wanting more and in a place of looking at other people and the comparisonitis kicking in? Or am I doing it because actually the business does need it, or I do need to advance in it? Because it might be that some people, you know, their expertise is, I don't know, let's just go with marketing agency, for example. You might have a marketing agency, it's doing really well. You might want to go and do a coaching qualification because actually you need to coach your team, which is fine. That might be a real thing. Like, you know, that might be, I would argue, depending on where your business is going, I would say someone else should be coaching your team. But that depends, you know, you're not scaling, you're not growing, it might be that actually, yeah, you do need to coach a team, and therefore you feel like you don't have the skills to do that, then cool, go and do a sort of decent coaching qualification. But it's just been about planning, I think, and being very strategic about what it is that you're actually embarking on and knowing what you're embarking on. I think sometimes people sign up to these things and have no clue what on earth they're signed up to.
Yes, 100. Oh my gosh, 100,000,000%. I completely agree with that, because it is so, what was it that somebody said to me the other day, that quite often the most successful people, not all the time, obviously, but a lot of successful people are not the best at what they do. They're the best at marketing what they sell. And I was like, oh my God, that is absolute genius, because I agree with you. There's so many courses, certifications, all these different things out there, where you read the sales page and you get to the bottom and you're like, yes, take my money, because I 100% need this. And then you kind of, like, you know, you step away, because I'm a massive advocate that unless it is like the most gorgeous handbag in the world, because we all know that I've got a bit of a handbag problem, but unless it's a bit like the most gorgeous handbag in the world, always think about your purchase, especially if it's, you know, high ticket. And sometimes it's when you kind of step away and you think, but what am I getting for that money? Like, am I suddenly going to wake up tomorrow and be that person, or am I, you know, where is it going? And I love what you're saying about it's that working backwards, isn't it? It's where do you want to go? Where do you want your business to be? Or what is that outcome that you want? And how are you then going to get there? Because that will then very much dictate what kind of CPD you're going to be doing, what kind of development you're going to be doing, as opposed to being led by the marketing, you're being led by your own business planning. And I think that's where a lot of people fall down, if I'm being completely honest with you. It's so easy to scroll on Instagram or whatever. And I mean, if I had a bottomless credit card, I think most of the time that I go on, most of the time that I go on Instagram, I could spend like 10 grand easily on courses that I just don't need. But the marketing is so good that I'm like, yes, I am going to become this, you know, this tomorrow, because Instagram's completely convinced me that that's what I need in my business. That's amazing marketing. But it's then thinking to yourself, well, actually, no, what is it that I need to achieve my goal within my business? And how am I going to get there? I think that's such a good thought process for anyone who's thinking of buying courses, masterclasses, certifications, whatever umbrella we're kind of putting them under there.
And also, I think, you know what you said there about you could spend 10 grand in a day, and I totally could as well. You just scroll, because I love it. And I think that's something we've got to acknowledge here in this conversation is, typically, business owners are go-getters, learners. They want to know more. That makes sense that you therefore feel an urge to buy all this stuff, because the reason that you want to buy it is also the reason that you're successful in business. It's because you have this drive. It's because you always understand that the learning never ends. So that's not something we should disencourage. That's something that I should be like, yes, that's a good sign. If you're scrolling and you think, oh, I love that, that means you're inquisitive. It means that your brain's really switched on to this. And I think that that's where there's value in that, of learning and just being self-aware enough to say, ah, okay, yeah, I do see that and I do connect with that. But then as you mentioned again, that, you know, that this idea of what do you need comes into play.
Definitely. And I think, like I said, I think quite often there's not enough conversation around what do you actually need and what is it that you can do? And I guess also what kind of time do you have, and what kind of, you know, there's so many people who say, oh, I've bought this course. I've actually bought it 2 years ago. I haven't done it. And I'm now coming to like hire somebody out, or I'm buying yet another course and it's then thinking to themselves, actually, no, I keep buying these courses. The reason I'm not doing them is because I don't have the time to do them. So then actually, well, is that kind of professional development delivery the best for you? Would it be better if you actually invested in a masterclass or a day's conference where, you know, actually showing up is making you learn almost, because, you know, you're not having to find the 20 hours to sit down at your computer where it's easy to start doing other things. And I think that there's conversation almost to be had around that, isn't there? Around, is the CPD that you're looking for, is the format right for you at that particular moment in time? I don't know if you have any thoughts around that at all.
Yeah, I 100% do. And I agree. And I think what that point is kind of leaning to is this idea of, what do you need? Do you need knowledge? Do you need skill development? Do you need implementation support? There's more, but I would say those are the three main areas. And those are the three where you're going to get you need a very different type of delivery format, depending on which one of those you're going for. So if you do want knowledge, because some of us need knowledge, right? If you've never led a team before, maybe you're thinking, I've now got 10 people. I need to know what to do with them. Then that's very normal. And so actually, knowledge is a great place to start. And so that will potentially be a self-paced course. Great. Fabulous. Do that. The thing I find difficult is, say, for example, you decide you need sales. Like, say you can't sell and you're like, do you know what? I've started this business. I've got to sell. I can't sort of run away from that. I need to sell. There's issue with just buying a course, in my opinion, on sales, because you're not going to get very far. Sales, you can read all the things, listen to all the things, try and do it, but that's a skill. That's skill development. And so when it comes to skill development, you need a touch point with something. So I would argue, and how, you know, I teach sales and we have a course, I have a course that, but it comes and they have that with implementation support, and they have it with a skill development piece, because that's where you're actually going to learn. And where most people do is they invest the time in the course, They don't get past the course, which means they're never going to really progress very far. And, you know, we've got loads of people who can sit and talk on podcasts and can talk about all these concepts. But when it comes to actually doing something, they struggle. And that's okay. Like, I'm not throwing shade to anybody, but I'm just saying that it's not your fault if what you've done is a course, because that doesn't necessarily work in terms of skill development. When we talk about implementation, that's a really interesting piece because it's the one that's forgotten about a lot. So when I talk about implementation, I'm talking about consistent long-term development of a skill. It typically is what it is. So whether that's a processing skill, whether that's a building a business, whether that's your emotional intelligence, it's something that is consistently going around in a cycle and a loop that you are working on. And typically you have someone external to support you with that so that you can do it on your own and go and execute on something. But then you have a safe space and a point in time in which you reflect back or you look at how is that going? What does that look like? What does progression look like? In my ideal situation, I prefer a method that covers all three of those and has a container that kind of sits in all of those. Not every CPD activity has to, because some things you don't, you know, if you need to learn something very specific about, I don't know, how to use a mic for your podcast, the course is going to be fine, or the reading or the book's going to be fine. But for a lot of things, especially if it's complex, especially if your listeners are sort of advanced business owners and are people who have been in the game sort of 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, it does shift. CPD does shift to a different area. It's not just the case of what you were doing when you first started your business and then doing that again, which I think is the thing that people get stuck at. Because once they get past the beginner stage, there isn't a whole lot that they can do in terms of going deep into something. There's a lot of other things that we've just talked about of all the different items you could delve into. But in terms of depth, I think that's where it's kind of lacking to some degree.
I love that so much. And I'm going to pick up on a couple of points that you mentioned there. You were talking about the implementation, and that just took me back to my teaching days of where we used to talk so much about the practice theory gap in nursing. And for anyone who's not familiar with the practice theory gap, it's this idea that you've got the theory, you've done the course, you've read the book, you've watched the YouTube video, whatever it is, you've got that theory, you know exactly what the practice looks like, but you need to create that bridge of how am I actually going to implement this theory and put it into practice. So I love that you picked up on that there. And the other thing that I want to pick up on is how you would talk about reflection as well. We all know I talk about reflection way too much. Again, it probably is a nursey thing because we have to do X amount of reflections for CPD, funnily enough, for our portfolios to revalidate, but that's a whole other conversation. But reflection, I think sometimes people can get to this point with reflection, can't they, where they're like, oh my god, I can't be bothered. And like, some people might even conjure up ideas of like Gibbs or the three-point theory of, you know, of reflection and stuff. And it's like, actually no, sometimes if journaling works for you, I always say, if journaling works for you, sit down, journal out, what did you learn, how's that going to impact you, how's it going to take you forward. But sometimes there's nothing wrong with just sitting with a cup of tea for 5 minutes and really thinking to yourself, you're smiling, you know how much I love tea, but, you know, really thinking to yourself, how was that relevant? How is that going to take me forward? And not just reflecting on, did I enjoy this? Yes, that course was amazing. No, that course was crap. Yes, I loved working with that business coach. No, I didn't. But really thinking, what is that going to do going forward? How is that going to impact moving forward? So I love that you were talking about reflection, because I think it is such a skill that just doesn't get talked about enough. And I've done so many courses, masterclasses, all the rest of things, and they're saying, you know, this is what you need to do, but there's not enough emphasis on the reflection of what you're learning and how you've moved forward. And just that appreciation, I suppose, of where were you at point A before you did that professional development activity, and where are you now that you've completed it?
So powerful. I even have in the business, which is quite intense, I suppose, a whole program, which is a year long, where people come and see me once a month in a group. And that's all we do. We reflect and then we plan. And they do that every single month with me. And the session is pretty much the same. They know what they're getting every single month. And some people are like, well, why would they join for the year? And we have people who join year on year. So like, we have people who do it again. And they're like, but it's kind of similar. I'm like, yeah, that's the point. That is 100% the point. They come and pay for me to sit and to talk through the reflection and to talk through the planning, and they actually physically sit down and do it, and they have a spreadsheet that they have to type, and they type, and everybody who gets on the call does it at the same time, and everybody's going through it, and then they go into a breakout room and they have a short discussion, and that's where we, you know, do the implementation piece. I'm not going to stop talking through a whole program in terms of how it works, but that in itself came from a very basic idea of literally what you were saying about this reflection piece, and how do we get people to do it consistently? Because for reflection to really work, I believe it's got to be a constant activity in terms of really consistently. And I found that monthly works really well for people. And so for business owners, we created this container, and it's been phenomenal to see what actually happens when people sit down and then sort of plan and reflect and then plan. And, you know, it was funny, the feedback we had from the first year of doing it, of people saying, well, I want to join again because I won't do it otherwise. I just will not do it. I can do it on my own, but I won't do it otherwise. And I think that's the piece that we all have to admit to, because I do. I have a team member who sits with me every month and goes through and does exactly similar to what I do this program on. She does it and we go back to forth, and she holds me accountable and she says, okay, like, we've been through this, we've been through that. Have you done this? Have we done this? And it's that reflection piece that allows us to move forward with purpose. And that's how you actually achieve goals. I think this is the bit people don't get. It's like, goal achievement is very low when you look at stats and figures. And people will sometimes, you know, come to me and say, well, it's all well and good creating this business plan or this strategy, but I'm just never going to achieve it. And I say, well, okay, but that's an implementation problem. That's not a plan problem. If you've got a decent strategy and a solid plan, it's like, it's about, can you implement? And then can you do the reflection piece, and can you move forward from that? And I think the pivot and the kind of amendment only can happen when the reflection is done. And so I 100% agree with you. You know, this CPD doesn't have to be the most grandest thing in the world that you pay the most amount of money for. It's the small details that I would argue is consistent and long-term that makes the biggest difference.
Definitely. And I love what you were saying there as well about how CPD doesn't have to be expensive, and it doesn't have to be this magnanimous, is that a word? Magnanimous? Yes. Thing that, you know, you go on your LinkedIn, we'll make it a word if not.
I'm severely dyslexic, so I say the wrong word all the time. So I won't worry.
Sorry, we're going with magnanimous. Somebody tell me if it's not a word, but you get what I mean. It doesn't have to be this like huge thing that we kind of go onto LinkedIn and we're like, we've just completed this qualification. And again, I'm not dissing people who do that on LinkedIn, because it's amazing any kind of qualification or certification that people, you know, have worked towards and achieved. So not dissing anybody. But my point is that for your CPD, it doesn't have to be this huge, huge thing. It could be that you have found somebody on YouTube, you've watched 10 videos of theirs, it's been super useful to you achieving your outcome, and then you sit down and you really think to yourself, you know, you spend that 10, 15 minutes, that hour, whatever it is, to really think, what have I learned and how is this going to impact going forward? So I love what you were saying about how, like I said, CPD, it doesn't have to be this crazy budget eating monster almost. And equally, it doesn't have to be, because I speak to certain people sometimes and they go, but I'm just not academic. And you're like, but your CPD doesn't have to be something academic. I think that can be very heavily bought on by our by how we grew up and our experiences sometimes, can't it? And, you know, like you said, in certain kind of office environments, you can get very caught up in this idea of, have you done your CPD points, have you done your hours, have you done this checklist, or whatever it is. So it's kind of creating that list of CPD which is relevant to you, and that point that we keep going back to of what is going to help you achieve your goals. And if you don't have goals written down, if you don't have your business plan or your business strategy, maybe that's actually a really good starting point for people, because then you're, rather than just being led by the opportunities and the development programs that are out there, you're actually being led by your business as opposed to the marketing. Yeah.
Isn't that powerful though? Like, it feels like the power's taken back into your hands as well. It feels like you are empowered to make a decision that works for you and what your business needs. And I think what might be helpful for people to hear is that, not necessarily if you're starting out, but if you are someone who's been in the game, you know, a couple of years, or maybe you've been 10 years, 20 years, some of the clients that I have, they have CPD activities that they are planning on doing, that might be 2 or 3 years in advance. So you don't have to execute on all these things. And I think that's another key point is, you know, we might plan out and map out a business and say, well, actually at X point, you're going to step into this different role or this responsibility is going to become yours as the CEO, as a whatever your position is in a business. And therefore at that point, they're then going to embark on X, Y, and Z thing or join in this sort of industry body, or they're going to, you know, venture into X area. I think that's, it doesn't have to be all done today, and it doesn't, you don't have to have all the answers. And I think leaning into what do you intuitively feel like you want to do? What feels exciting to you? What feels like, yes, that feels like a good fit for me to do. And what can you like manage and handle? Because as you said, like the workplace really rips the fun out of it. But if you leave corporate, you're kind of traumatized by the whole experience of learning and development, I would argue, because often it's not the best. Yeah. And so I would say this is a really exciting time because you get to make it. You design it, you create it, you decide what do you want this to look like. And as we've also mentioned, there are thousands of different providers providing the same thing, which I think is a really good thing. Mm. I love that. Like, I love that there's so much competition, if people want to call it that, because it means that people can actually access what they need and actually access what they want. And it allows the provider to stand in their power and say, no, this is how we do it. And we won't really change on that. And I think that's okay, because you can be like, well, you can go elsewhere. And I definitely do that. You know, there's certain things in my business where we create massively bespoke things for people. But there's also certain things where it's like, nope, that's just how we work. If you don't like it, tough, go somewhere else type thing. And it is good because it helps people know that, yes, she's for me, or no, actually, I'm not. I think the issue is when people will just sort of cater and try and cater to every possible person's needs, and you end up with a really watered down result a lot of the time.
That is, I think, oh my God, that is so powerful what you were just saying about, again, it comes back to that idea, doesn't it, of staying in your own lane. I completely agree with you. You need to feel empowered enough to say, this is my product suite, this is how I teach or how I provide or whatever it is that you do. Because yes, I completely agree. People have even come to me before and said, Verity, I don't like your style of teaching. That's fine. I don't mind that you don't like my style of teaching. I'm not, but out of respect to you as the student and me as the teacher, I'm not going to change my style of teaching because I won't be delivering the same. It's the same as you. You know, you're not going to be the business coach for everybody, but that, like you said, you're fine with that because you've got your pool of people who you serve, and there's going to be somebody else that other people can go to for you know, for the information. And I love what you were saying, that sometimes, you know, I don't like the phrase, but sometimes we kind of don't stand in our own power and our own zone of genius, and we just try and be like, oh, okay, you didn't like that, that's fine, I'll create this whole other course just because you said you didn't like it. And that's fine. I mean, I've been known as well. Somebody said to me a while ago, they were like, I just don't like your style of teaching. And I was like, that's fine. I know this girl, go and learn through her because she's amazing at what she does, completely different style, but you will get what you want. And they were like, why are you recommending another business? And I was like, why wouldn't I? And I was really confused by the question. And I was like, well, you've told me what you want to achieve. I can't provide that. So why wouldn't I recommend somebody else? And they were like, but you're losing out on my money. I'm like, no, I'm not, because I don't provide what you want in the way that you want. So you're not 100%. My ideal customer. Everyone's just going to be upset. You're not my ideal customer. I'm not your ideal person to work with. You're going to end up resenting me. I'm going to end, you know, I was like, no, just, it was a bizarre conversation. But yes, I completely agree with what you're saying. It's, you've got to just really own the fact that this is how you deliver services, this is how you teach or run masterclasses, whatever it is. Yeah.
And it means that the people who are buying from you get a better result. So I would say 75% of people who I could work with shouldn't work with me. I won't work with them. It won't work because they don't want to hear what I'm going to tell them. They're not prepared to do what I'm going to tell them to do or suggest. I'm not telling anyone to do anything, but you know, what if you come to me with a goal, depending on what service you buy from me, like there are some services where people are like, I need to get here. What do I have to do? And I create strategy and we go. And that's how it works. And people sometimes come to me and say, how do you get the results that you get in the business for clients? And it's because we're so picky about who I work with. And I'm so picky on, are you as the client willing to do what you're saying you're prepared to do? Because I'm not really interested in terms of the money perspective. Like, as you've just said, I mean, it's like, there's so many people that you can help and work with. Like, it's not really reliant on that person. Doesn't mean to say we don't value them, but it's about, I'm just more concerned about your business and where you're investing your money. And is that going to work? And I just think there's nothing of a worse feeling if someone like invests money in a program of mine and actually they don't utilize it. And I just think, well, it's a real waste. Like, and also, if anyone's listening who is a provider, because maybe you're listening and you do provide coaching or some kind of service that is a CPD experience, you've also got to accept that sometimes people are just not going to do it. And sometimes you've got to draw the line. Yes, you need to have really solid, you know, helping people implement, helping people to go along that journey, helping them support them. But you have to learn to accept that actually sometimes you ain't going to be able to help someone who doesn't want to be helped or isn't prepared to go down that road that you're giving them all the tools for. They've got to do it. And it's okay. It doesn't mean you failed or that your program's crap or that you've got to completely rewrite it because one person didn't engage with it. And I think there's a very big difference between accessibility and about learning styles and about educational design, which is really important, especially if you're doing something like a course. Well, it's important in everything, but especially if there's no human involved. But then there also is a difference between people who, you know, are just not engaging or are not prepared to do whatever you've kind of suggested to them to do.
I love that. You've reminded me completely of this piece of work that I did a while ago, all about quote unquote, the entitled student. And it's this idea of somebody who has signed up to the course and regardless of the level of work they put in, they've decided that they deserve the outcome. Like, you know, and they might write the crappiest essays or they might not watch any of the videos, but to them, they have bought the course. So they're entitled to the outcome. Such a fascinating concept, but we can totally dive down. That's like a whole other hour's kind of podcasting conversation completely for another day. We have covered so much goodness in this episode. I have really, really enjoyed it. And I'm sure all of our listeners will have loved this as well. But before we wrap up, I would love to know, what would your key takeaway be from this episode?
I mean, I think should we end on some tips in terms of what people should be doing? Because I don't know
if
we've covered
that. Yes, I love that. Yeah,
go there. So it's really practical for people.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're listening to this, you're likely a business owner. I'm just going to assume that, obviously, for the title of the podcast.
Yes.
You're a CEO, you're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur. I also want to preface this by saying some people can argue that I am biased because I do provide consultant services, advisor services, coaching services. So I just want to lay that out on the table because I think that's important. Like, you know, whoever comes on here and talks to you is going to be biased in some way or another. So that's just my sort of disclaimer here. I would say top tips around this is, I personally believe in long-term CPD. I believe that the value in where you get the most ROI for you internally as yourself, but also financially, if you want to look at it like that, is from long-term continuous development. Because I argue the one-day course or the three-day retreat or the, you know, six-week course or six-week coaching program will serve you for a certain length of time. And that is great. And as we've mentioned, that is needed. And I personally like a multidisciplinary approach to building your CPD. So you don't have to pick one thing. You don't have to only do one thing. I think you can incorporate lots of different things. But my general consensus is for everyone, at some point, to have some kind of longer term item in place as a structural base. So whether that is a year-long, you know, course, a year-long program, some kind of coach, some kind of consultant, an advisor, you know, a therapist. I know that's questionable as to whether that's professional development, but I would argue for a lot of business owners, that's like a key part of the puzzle.
I think it can be.
For sure. Whether it's you have someone to, you know, help you reflect on your work with clients, depending on how intense that is, like having some kind of long-term, consistent thing that is on a rolling basis. And the frequency doesn't have to be high. So remember, consistency and frequency are different. So it doesn't have to be that you see them every week. It doesn't have to be that you have to see them every month, even, although I would suggest monthly is quite I personally think that that's where the real niceness lies. But it could be every quarter if you're really pushing it in terms of where can it be. But something that you know is there as a kind of stable position. Then at that point, you can then build other things into your CPD experience, which may be events, conferences, courses, you know, some kind of learning experience, the 6-week coaching experience, because it's on a specific area that's really going to help you. Maybe it's confidence, maybe it's something that's specific. And I think that collectively works really well. I also think we touched on the idea of free or low cost options, and actually don't think that this can't be free. It can be. So podcasts and books and YouTube videos, as you mentioned, there's a lot there that adds to your CPD experience and builds part of this picture. And I think we've mentioned about time and thinking about where does this fit into time scales. And so I would say don't spend a massively proportionate amount of time on a non-passive activity. Now, what I mean by a non-passive activity is something like a course, a podcast, reading, something where you're not actively implementing or talking. Because we know from, you know, brain chemistry, we know from development that actually if you start connecting and making a mind-body connection and you start speaking, that's when you start to understand whatever it is you're learning or trying to develop as your skill, which is why we have such an emphasis on coaching or consulting or advisory, because that is where you're getting a chance to go backwards and forwards. And it's that transaction where I believe massively increases your leadership development, it massively increases your emotional intelligence, it massively increases your ability to communicate with not only the person you're communicating with, but everybody else around you. And the modeling experience really comes out there, where you see things being mirrored, which you just don't get from a course or something that's more of a passive activity. So that would be my kind of next point. And then finally, it would be to commit to the work. And I don't mean that you have to slog at something. I don't mean you've got to sort of hate it. Obviously, you've got to enjoy it. But I do think there's an element of this gets boring, but the boring is what makes you the money. Especially if you're going to talk about like business development, which I think a lot of people think about when we talk about CPD. Like if you're thinking about, you know, how do I get my business to grow and how am I the person that helps that move forward? That at points will get boring. Like I have clients who work with me for like 2 years, 3 years. They see me every month or twice a month. Some of them talk to me, you know, multiple times a week through one means or another. And like they get sick of me. Like it's quite a boring experience to some degree, right? Yes, we have a really deep relationship and we have a really expansive time. And, you know, they choose to work privately with me, we really have that beautiful connection that spans and friendship to some degree that spans a long time. But there is an element of commitment in there. And there's an element of I am committed to being on this process through the good times and the bad times. And when it gets really tough, I'm not going to just hide in a hole for 6 months. I'm going to lean into it and have the difficult conversations. And that to me is where the real CPD power comes out, of when you have that long-term support, it's there to support you when those times come, because they're going to. Every business is going to have difficult times. You're not a bad business owner if you're going through a difficult time. It is inevitable for every single business on this planet. So don't run away from that and don't think, I'm going to try and mitigate it. It's tough. Like sometimes you can control it to some degree, but not 100%. And so that would be my personal kind of top tips on it, would just be to have something that's consistent and then add other bits and pieces on top and fun things and things that you really enjoy as part of the process.
I love that so much. So much goodness. I appreciate that so much. And before we do end the episode, please tell us, where can all of our lovely listeners catch up with you? And also tell us about your podcast.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. So I have a website, www.mayjames.com. And you can find me over on Instagram, is where I hang out the most in terms of if you want to speak to me or chat to me. I am on socials. It might take me a day or two to get back to you. But you're more than happy to DM me or say hi or say you've listened to the podcast. And you find me at may.james_ over there. And then, as Verity really kindly mentioned, I do have a podcast, which is Honest Business, which we dive into really high level, strategy and leadership topics, and they're solo episodes and they are driven by me. Some of them you will sort of actually physically be able to do stuff on the, it's quite intense in terms of get a pen and paper. I know some people message saying I've had to get a pen and paper and stop listening when I was driving because it's just too much going on. And sometimes it's a bit more chilled out and it's a bit more just sort of long form conversational. But it's a great free resource and it's a weekly free resource. So actually, if you want something that's free to add to your CPD, I will plug the podcast because actually it's a really solid piece of sort of literature, in my opinion.
It is 100%, and I use it. I will say, like, no, and no, May did not pay me to say this if anyone asks, but I use your podcast as part of my CPD because there's so much on there that I think, you know, kind of going back to what you were saying before, where I might be thinking, oh, I need that right now, or actually I don't need that right now, that's interesting, but I'm going to listen to it and probably implement, I don't know, 6 months, 12 months, 3 years time or whatever. So 100%, we will have all of that linked in the show notes. So anyone who wants to catch up with me, just check out the links in the show notes. And otherwise, thank you so much. It's been fantastic. I really enjoyed myself.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Confident CEO podcast. Before you go, I would absolutely be overjoyed if you could take just 2 minutes to leave me a review in Apple Podcasts. Reviews are a great way to tell Apple Podcasts how much you enjoyed the show, and it helps the algorithm to push out the podcast to more people, thereby helping us to help empower even more badass businesswomen to grow their inner CEO and grow to be the confident CEO of their business that they can be. I love to shout you out in your reviews as well. So you never know, you might be hearing your name on the podcast in the next episode. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.